Well, let me begin by saying that the George Barna Group is widely considered a leading research organization focused on the intersection of faith and culture. In its 30-year history, Barna Group has carefully and strategically tracked the role of faith in America. It has become the go-to source for insights about faith and culture. And as such, they are often quoted by preachers and sermons, including myself. So I was quite flattered last year when Barna Group called me for my opinions. Now, you know me. I do have opinions. So I was quite flattered. And then the questions began. Her first question was, "How many ministers do you have?" I said, "Around 200. There was a significant pause before the lady said, "Your payroll must be massive." I said, "No, wait a minute. You didn't ask me how many staff members we have. You asked me how many ministers we have." And since the word minister simply means servant, I believe every member of the church is a minister, a servant. It's the biblical teaching of the priesthood of all believers. Peter talks about it in his first letter, chapter 2, verses 5, and then again in 9. "You, like living stones," he says, "are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." You, not us, you. "Offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." See, that was what the priests were supposed to do in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. It took that special class, that special group of clergy, we would call them today, of Levites, of priests, to offer up sacrifices. He says, "No, now that's you. We're all holy priests. You are a chosen possession, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." I love that. "That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." You can do that. You don't need to have a priest declare His praises for you. Well, this morning we continue our series, Every Believer on a Mission for God. And today's message is, every believer is a minister, a servant, a part of the holy and royal priesthood. I didn't give this lady nearly as hard of a time with the other questions until she came to the question about the Bible. You remember this? And Mike, I shared this with you when she called. She asked, "Do you believe the Bible is inerrant or infallible?" I said, "Yes." She laughed a little bit, and again she said, "That's not a yes or no question, it's an either or question." I said, "No, it's not." And my answer is still, yes. I believe the Bible is inerrant and infallible. I'm not sure they'll ever call me again. I'm just saying. Yeah. Listen carefully. Pastors don't make strong churches. They equip them. Buildings don't make strong churches. They house them. Worship services don't make strong churches. They bring them together. Strong churches, mature churches, are born when the people of the church realize what real biblical ministry is and then choose to accept God's calling to engage in ministry. What is real ministry? Let me begin first with this distinction. Biblical ministry is primarily focused on the saints, on us, on the church. We minister to one another. Biblical missions is primarily focused on sinners, on them, on the lost, the unchurched. Now that's next week's message, every member a missionary. So get that that direction out of your mind this morning. We're focusing on biblical ministry, ministering to one another. Ministry in the New Testament is primarily the church taking care of her own. It's family business. Ministry in a church gives life to the body. It heals wounds. It's God's love in action. It is inclusive of all Christians, not just our little church, but it is to be like Jesus. For even the Son of Man, the Bible says, did not come to be served, but to serve. Every believer is a minister. And this is in your outline. Ministry is what every believer should do. Christians were created for ministry, saved for ministry, called to ministry, gifted for ministry, authorized for ministry, needed for ministry, commanded for ministry, and accountable for ministry as well as rewarded for ministry. And all those scriptures are there for you in the outline. Ministry is the church family taking care of her own, working together, growing together, helping each other as needs arise. You need to know that our elders don't just meet every other week and talk about each other or y'all or whatever. We do a lot of that, but there's a lot of that to do. But they take very seriously their calling to be leaders and shepherds of this congregation that they have been chosen to lead. And they have recently spent months poring over the ministry as well as the ministries and the purpose of Muhammad Christian Church. The purpose of that was to seek God's leading and understanding of how to remain a relevant ministry, not just a go-to-church place on Sunday mornings, but to remain a relevant ministry to the communities we serve as well as to you, this body of believers, and the mission opportunities that are presented to us. A lot of research went into the demographics of our communities, ages, marriages, divorces, single-parent homes, races, population growth and changes, education, religious influences, governments and media, and much more. Pastor Jeff and I recently joined the elders for a getaway day, and we spent hours together that day praying, turning to scriptures, not really fighting with one another, but once in a while having our say, our opinions, but always ending up with what we believe the Lord was leading us to. All of that was to set course for the ministry of MCC and what that should look like. The vision statement from that meeting was shared with the ministry team leaders just 2 weeks ago, and I believe it sums up quite well what our purpose should be. It captures in three simple phrases what MCC should look like and will look like as every believer becomes a minister: attending to the needs of one another, doing good to everyone, and proving by the way we live that God is in control. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Attending to the needs of one another, doing good to everyone, and proving by the lives we live that God is in control. So we need to be careful that the lives we live don't make liars out of the tongues we speak with. That means that as believers, saved by grace, we are not just going to rejoice because we are saved and have received God's grace and forgiveness. It means we're also going to be challenged to be what Jesus saved us to be: servant ministers for God. Let me share this conclusion that I have reached about MCC after nearly 12 years. We may not have it all together, but together we have it all. I love this church. I love you. One of the most debated issues in modern Christianity is, why should I be a member of any local church? Where does the Scripture talk about church membership? My brother-in-law, Barbie's younger brother, Rick Burdett, is the minister at Gardenside Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky. He recently wrote something about that, and here's what he says. According to Acts 2:47, God adds us to the church Acts 2:47 says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Saved and added. Saved and added. I like that. "When you repent of your sins," he says, "turn to God in obedience and are baptized into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God adds you to His family," the church, the body of Christ worldwide. You don't join that. It's automatic. "When you are born again, God becomes your Father and you instantly have brothers and sisters, the family of God, His church." I guess in one sense, saying you don't need the church is like saying I'm part of a family, but I don't want to have anything to do with the people that make up my family. God designed His family so we do need each other. And even if we disagree or if we get our feelings hurt sometimes, we're still brothers and sisters. Romans 12, and again in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul compares the church with parts that make up the human body. "Just as a body, though one, has many parts," he says, "all its many parts form one body. And so it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body." He goes on with that analogy and says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And by the same token, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you." You cannot be a part of the body of Christ and say to someone who's gifted differently than you or that is different from you in any other way, I don't need you. You certainly can't say, I don't need you. I can stay home and watch you on the TV. God put His body together. And you might ask why. His answer is so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, what? We ought to all suffer. When Brother Tilford went to the hospital with open heart surgery recently, one of the good things that came out of that, other than him being back with us, isn't that great? One of the good things that came out of that is it brought us all together in prayer. It brought us all together for a moment, in spite of anything else, to turn to the one we knew could make a difference. When things go haywire in your life or in mine, don't ever hesitate to ask for prayer. There's nothing like the whole body coming together to share your suffering. But he goes on to say too, and if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Every single one of us, though, has a rebellious and an independent nature. It's what the Bible calls the sinful nature. We inherited that from Daddy Adam and Mama Eve back in the garden when they fell. By the sinful nature, we don't want to be dependent on anyone. However, when we become Christians, it is that nature that is crucified in Christ, Galatians 2:20. And church membership, when Christ adds me to His church, the body of Christ worldwide, when He adds me to that church membership places me in the position where Christ is my head. I am a part of His body. That means I am dependent on someone. I'm dependent upon Jesus and my brothers and sisters in Christ. And my brothers and sisters in Christ are dependent on me. It means I'm counting on the Lord and I'm counting on you. And you're counting on the Lord and you're counting on me. If we've never crucified that independent spirit, we will never understand God's design for His body, the church, and why being a member of it is so essential to fulfilling His mission. Can you go to heaven and not be a part of God's family? I don't know. Can you be a student and not go to school or have any teachers? Can you be a soldier but not belong to any army? Can you be an arm amputated from the body and still function? Can you be part of a family but have no relationship with your brothers and sisters? You see, being added to the church, the big C, the church, the body of Christ worldwide, is something God does when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we are baptized into Him for the forgiveness of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, if you are a believer, and if you have been obedient to His call to repentance, if you have been baptized into Christ, congratulations! You have been added to the church, the body of Christ. Said all that, though, to say this. Aligning yourself with a local church family. Rather, it's the church at Corinth or Ephesus or First Christian or Mohammed Christian. Aligning yourself with a local family of believers is a choice. The local church is where we assemble. We worship and praise and serve. It's where we celebrate His resurrection and remember His sacrifices. And it's where we use our gifts and abilities to minister to one another. We spur each other on, the Hebrew writer says. We encourage, and we are encouraged by others. It becomes our habit. It becomes our lifestyle. It becomes our home. It becomes our family. We don't give up. And we encourage and help others to not give up. It's why the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. The Message says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Let's create new ways to encourage each other. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what day is that? The day of the return of Christ. How many of you believe that's coming soon? Much more than ever before, we need to be encouraging each other. Because the Bible says before He comes, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Chuck Swindoll once said that this world is just one big cesspool. God never told us to clean it up. He told us to go fish in it. We pray that Mohammed Christian will be a family you want to join. A church you'll want to share your life and ministry with as a member of His body and this body. Now you can do that any time, but a really good time is during Sunday morning invitation at the end of the sermon. And we're going to have a young man do that this morning. At MCC, I'm going to be bold and speak for us. Now, if you disagree, wait till after church and tell me, okay? Don't stand up and go, no, I don't think so. Because if you don't think so, what I want you to do is go, maybe that's where I'm falling short. But at MCC, we will unashamedly and publicly acknowledge that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Our commitment to each other and to the body of Christ is something we take seriously. We submit to the authority of the Scriptures as the guide for our decisions in life. We pursue and encourage others to pursue a relationship with Jesus through regular Bible study, prayer, and fellowship, and to teaching our children to do the same. We strive to love our brothers and sisters in Christ and consider their interest of greater value than our own. We strive to refrain from any words or actions that cause disunity or division in the body of Christ. We pray for the pastors and other church leaders, as well as the members, mission, and missionaries and ministries of the church. We prayerfully endeavor to be good stewards of the resources God has given us. We believe in cheerful generosity. That leads us to tithe and sacrifice for kingdom growth, both locally and globally. It's why we take a moment now and then to reach out to help those with a special offering like we will next Sunday. We desire to intentionally live a life that fulfills the Great Commission and to take advantage of the opportunities to share the gospel in words and in deed when they're available. Barbie and I were out having lunch yesterday, wasn't it? And the young lady that served us was remarkable, very remarkable young lady, new to the area, and we did what we do everywhere. We told her, well, Kim, we're getting ready to pray here in a moment. Is there anything we can pray for you? And she shared a little need on her heart. And throughout the conversation, we kept talking to her. Are you new to the area? Do you live in this area? Do you grow up in this area? Do you have a church home? And yada, yada, yada. And all the while, there was a couple seated over here right next to us in the next table. And they were listening. And they were laughing along. And they were kind of making a remark once in a while about it. And I kind of get the feeling they're sitting over there going, wow, you don't have to be in church or up in the pulpit or have a Sunday school lesson or a sermon prepared to engage people and see if there's a need in their life that at least you can pray about. As they were leaving, we exchanged some pleasantries. We will seize every opportunity we can to complete the Great Commission of Christ. In word and in deed. Here at MCC, we seek to use the gifts given to each of us by the Holy Spirit to edify and build up God's kingdom and others at Muhammad Christian Church, as well as God's church around the world. We choose out from among us church leaders that we can trust to be faithful to God's word, willingly submit to and honor their leadership, which God has entrusted to care for His flock. We take seriously the responsibility of Christian freedom. That means I will not use my opinions and preferences so they become stumbling blocks to somebody else. And it means if we move from this local family of believers, we will do so having resolved any conflicts and will unite as quickly as possible with another church who helps us continue to love Jesus and love others. You see, MCC is more than a church. We're a family. And we open our arms and extend the invitation for everyone to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, to be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Knowing you are then added to His body, the church worldwide, you become a member of the household of faith, and we also invite you then to join our family of believers at MCC. We want this to be your local church home, so we can say to you, welcome home. We've been expecting you. At MCC, we are bound unashamedly together in Christ and His Word. We invite you to stand with us. It's important that every committed believer, every minister here at MCC, understand our life's calling. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus that affects all my other relationships. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, and He has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. In his letter to the Galatians, he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. When the Holy Spirit calls you to follow Jesus, it's a call to die to yourself. That's your sinful nature. Our lives are no longer our own. They are under His ownership, His lordship. We have been bought with a price to glorify God in our lives. That's our calling. May we never forget our calling. And may we never forget that it is a lifelong calling. I'm afraid many believers think that it's a one-time event. Sort of a saved and done event. After it occurs, God, Jesus, and the church become a part of a long list of things for our pleasure and our convenience, usually reserved for the weekends. A result of that is most believers fail to experience and enjoy a personal relationship with Jesus and a growing relationship with His church. If we understand our calling in Christ, then we understand why being an active part of the body, the church, is so important. I could not continue facing what I face each day, going through the trials we go through, and having so much darn fun if I separated myself from this body of believers. This group, and we've done it before, this group can have fun reading the phone book. If you're with the right group of people, that's funny. Our calling to be in Christ is so that we can all be one. If I take this piece of, or if I take a piece of thread that you know, just sew a button on, we take that piece of thread, and I ask you to just break it, you think you could do that? I mean, I could. Look at those guns. I break up thread. But if you take about 300 of those threads, twist them all together into a little rope, think you can break that? Be like a clothesline. You just wrap it around your finger and go, snap it. Not me. Our commitment to Christ and His church is that tie that binds us all together. We are one in the Lord. In spite of our many differences, race, economic and education, position, age, gender, in Christ we are one. In Christ there's neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew, neither slave nor free. In Christ we are one. Our strength is together in Christ. The church is not a non-profit organization. We are a family. God is our Abba, our Daddy, and we are brothers and sisters. Jesus is our eldest brother. And in Him, God wraps us together as cords that cannot be broken. Satan tries to convince us, however, that we're just threads. We don't need other threads. He tries to divide us and break us apart, usually over things that don't really make a hill of beans of difference. He brings us together in church so we can be one. And that's why the Holy Spirit gives gifts to His people, the church. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts for a purpose, to enable us to serve one another through His plan. We aren't saved to rest on our blessed assurance. We're saved to serve. He makes us all ministers. Some, as we read earlier this morning, some are teachers. Some are giving with generosity. Some are whatever. He gave me, He gave you gifts so that the body of Christ, His church, would grow and grow up until we attain maturity. Paul makes this so clear and easy to understand in Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to just verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, 15, 16. Speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Gary, we talked about that this morning, didn't we? Yeah. Speak the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love, we will in all things not grow, we will grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, that is, joined and held together by each other, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. How many of you watched America's Got Talent? Did you watch that? I don't know if you were a fan of Tape Face or not. I could take him or leave him. But did you see what he did on that last finale? He took those four big guys and he set them all in a chair facing a different direction. And then he had them lay back and interlock their arms with each other. And then he slowly pulled the chairs out from under them. And what happened? They just stayed right there. Can you imagine if any one of them let go, what would have happened? But they didn't. And that's a great picture of the church. Guys, as long as our arms and lives are intertwined in Christ with each other, Satan can pull out from under us everything he wants, and we will still stand because we'll be supporting each other in Christ. I thought of that when I saw that and went, man, that's how the church should be. Let me end today by sharing this challenge. Being a part of a local church, I think, is the only way you and I can have stability in an unstable world. There are only two ways you and I can live our lives, quite honestly, for ourselves or for God. It's really that simple. One lifestyle keeps us trying to find satisfaction in an ever-changing world. It asks us to build our life on a foundation of shifting sands of opinions. It's a lifestyle that finds us trying to find purpose in pleasing ourselves, pleasing others, or both. It's a lifestyle of depending on our own schemes and abilities and the advice of others. It's a lifestyle where waves crash in on all sides and can often become overwhelming and sometimes leaving us discouraged and hopeless. The other lifestyle offers us a life filled with purpose and hope, we just read. It's built on the solid rock foundation of the unchanging Word of God as its guide. One gives us the friends from the bar, the team, the hope that other people will make us feel valuable. The other gives us a forever family. Not perfect, not by a long shot, but loving us, caring, supporting, helping, serving us, sometimes when necessary, correcting and rebuking to keep us accountable to the life we have been called to. The truth is, life here and now is not heaven. There are storms and there are difficulties, and there will be more. The foundation we build our lives on will determine our stability in the storm. Jesus taught us in this life we will have trials, troubles, and sorrows, and when the storms come and the winds blow, He taught us to build our lives on the solid rock. If we build on the things of this world, we'll be tossed around like a ship on the ocean in a storm. And I've been there a few times. Some of you have too. That's not a pleasant place to be. But if we build our lives on Jesus and His Word, we have a rock solid foundation. When we are a church family of servants, a family of ministers, connected to Him and supported by others who do the same, we will be a church God wants us to be. That's the church I believe MCC is striving to be. And that's the church we want you to call home. It all begins with your commitment to the Lord and repentance, turning to Him in faith, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, washing them away, and receiving the gift of His Spirit. God will add you to His body, the church worldwide. And then our invitation is open to any believer. You don't have to be baptized here. If you're an immersed believer in Christ, a part of God's family, we invite you to be a part of ours. A family of believers where each believer is a minister. Because we believe you have a ministry to add to this one. And that's what we expect and look for. Father God, this morning, it's amazing when we think about what you have done. But I think sometimes it's even more amazing when we think about what you're doing with what you have to work with now. It's amazing to me the love that penetrates so deep, not because we're that loving, but because we've become that loving, having been loved like that by you. I think it's amazing that your sacrifice on the cross was enough for you to be able to say, it is finished now. I've done all that's necessary. You don't need to work on it anymore. You don't need to get any better. You need to surrender your life to me in repentance. You need to surrender to me in Christian baptism. I'll wash your sins away. I'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit to start a new life with. And He will gift you to live that new life with other believers. But I think it's also amazing how you've brought so many different believers together in a local church and have made one loving witness for you, both to each other and to the world around us. So I pray then, Father, you will continue to use us in such a manner. And I can pray that you will continue to lead others to be a part of this ministry. Not because we want to be a big church, but because we are a big church with a big heart, with arms stretched open really wide to welcome all who would come to you and who would like to build their life in Christ with the support and encouragement of other believers. Move us to our decisions. In Jesus' name, amen.